why, Anthony? Why is it okay when it's why is it okay when it's maniac mobsters and supervillains?
Yeah.
But it's not okay when it's Nazis.
Because Nazis, that's why. That's the only answer you need. Because Hitler. You know, yeah. We'll just drag Hitler into this argument.
Hitler, and way more evil than Joker.
Terrible.
Thank you for listening to Comic Issues, your favorite geeky podcast full of rants, ramblings, and ravings. I am your host, Anthony Silva, along with me is my co-host and one of the greatest geeks in the world,
Elizabeth Wallace.
Hey, everybody.
How's it going? It's hot here.
Nice to see you again.
Yes, it's also hot.
It is also hot.
I'm going to complain about that a lot. It's San Diego. The weather is supposed to be perfect all the time. What the hell, San Diego?
I got a feeling it's common among the podcasts.
Yeah, actually, come to think of it, we do complain about the heat a lot. It's a thing we do.
I know Movie Issues has been complaining about the heat as well.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if two geeks in a podcast are doing it. Yep. I can see that happening.
Gonna happen.
Probably not going to happen. I record a binary system tonight. It'll happen on my end, but Catherine says the weather in North Carolina has been lovely. I'm like, well, fine. Have your lovely weather. Send it back over here.
Yeah. Give us back our weather.
Yeah.
We're supposed to have the good weather.
We are.
Okay, but enough of weather.
Yeah.
We did that bit.
Yeah.
So as far as some news going on, just the last week for you guys, there were a list of DC books that got canceled. One of them actually being a book we're going to miss.
Yeah. Gotham by Midnight.
Gotham by Midnight.
But you know, if, what's his bucket? The guy who was first doing the art for it.
Oh, Templeton?
Thank you. Temple Smith. Ben Temple Smith. If he was still doing that book, I'd actually be in mourning. But since he left it, it's a book that I've enjoyed, but honestly, most of the draw for me was Temple Smith.
Highest on the list.
No, but it's still, it's a shame because it was a thing that they were doing that was different from the usual DC. Is this part of that whole no more Batgirling thing? Is that what this is a reaction from?
I don't know. Like, they're citing just sales to be low on these books. Mm-hmm. And if it's low, it goes. That's just kind of the rule of thumb.
What was Dial H for Hero?
Oh yeah, from the initial DC launch.
Yeah, that was China Maryville, who writes some staggeringly good books. But I read like two issues of that book, and I'm like, this isn't going to last. It's really not. So that's about how many issues do you suppose it lasted?
I think it only maybe went six. Oh. It was among the first wave to go.
Yeah, maybe if I'd kept reading it, I would have found something I liked. But I'm like, sorry, Mr. Mabel. I'm sorry.
Use an actual phone? Like an actual payphone?
Yeah, I did, actually.
That's the problem. Nobody uses
a payphone.
No one knew what it was.
I was very surprised in Yellowstone the other week. There were payphones all over the place. Nobody gets signals. There you go. Yeah, so God forbid we should be cut off from telephones for a half an hour. But
every time I even see a payphone at this point, of which you can, just not often, they look like the grossest things in the world.
Well, somebody said something about, you know, I'm the last person to use a payphone who wasn't a drug dealer. I'm like, yeah.
Do you think the drug dealers will keep it up, though, if they're going to be using them so much?
I think you're kind of misunderstanding their priorities.
Yes, the drugs.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the money.
But among Gotham by Midnight, also Doomed, Justice League United, Omega Men, and... Oh, I just said this before we started recording.
Did you say Lobo?
I was Lobo. Sure.
Lobo.
There
you go, yeah.
All getting canceled.
Was Lobo the new young...
The Twilight Lobo.
Thank you, yes. Yeah. I was wondering, I can't imagine why that got canceled. But,
yeah. I would probably say that book... I mean, you killed off the old Lobo. Everybody was pissed. I think the writing was going to be on the wall in that one. Like, no one was going to buy into this new Lobo, no matter what you did.
But would anybody have continued with an old Lobo book either? I mean, he's not like a A-list.
He's not, but I think it may have gone farther.
Okay.
Because at least it's something they're familiar with. This book walks in, shits on everything you know about Lobo, and then expects you to stay with it.
So it's going to piss off the people who were Lobo fans, and because of the Twilight resemblance, it's not really going to gain any new followers either. So
yeah.
But I remember when they said the other week, when they had the no Batgirling comment, and they said that there were a lot of titles that they guaranteed a certain run of issues, but that wasn't going to hold anymore. Were these included in that? I mean, how long... Some of them I hadn't even heard. Justice League Unlimited? Never heard of it. Had no idea.
Well, it was Justice League Canada for a week.
Really?
Before it went to print, it was actually called Justice League Canada. I don't know why. I don't think I ever picked up any of the Justice League.
I might actually buy that book. No, just
like, Canada.
It's so
it's really nice.
It's the politest superheroes you've ever ran across. So.
There's no shootings.
A lot of maple syrup.
Oh yeah, the maple syrup.
And
so good.
Great healthcare. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
People still getting stabbed though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, other than Gotham by Midnight. Oh no, I did pick up Level Number One
just because it's like you got to see what kind of a train wreck it's going to be, you know.
You know, like sometimes I just get a book because I'm like, all right, well, I got to do it for the podcast.
Yeah, it's actually a nice excuse reading books. It's like I have no interest in this book, but it's probably going to come up, so I'm going to read it. And sometimes you actually like it.
I didn't like it then, and I'm not even a big Lobo fan now, so it wasn't like, oh fuck you, you stepped all over the Lobo legacy. It's like, nah.
This plan is probably not well thought out.
This feels like so many other things I've already read.
Yeah, yeah.
Justice League United, I don't know if I ever read. Doomed and Omega Men, I know I definitely didn't read.
No, I didn't. That's another one. Doomed was another one, which is funny. I hear Doomed, I'm like Doom? Like Doctor Doom?
Doom?
No.
Doom Patrol, I kept thinking it might have been, but...
What was it about?
Honestly, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
Neither did anybody else, apparently.
Yeah, like no one I knew was talking about it.
Okay.
Omega Men, I knew, was the book that has Kyle Rayner on it. And that one, actually, they've redacted on. That one is going to get its 12-issue run that I think it was originally promised.
Oh, okay. All right.
So,
maybe they were doing it to see
what kind of... It was canceled for a couple days.
They did it to see what kind of a backlash. If people yelled and screamed really loud, they'd be like, oh, maybe we can make a few more bucks.
And from what I saw in comments and on Twitter, it is kind of the one. Everyone's like, hey! You know,
everything else, they're like... Oh, Gotham by Midnight. Is Temple Smith still doing it? No? Okay.
I saw a couple comments be like, oh, you know, like, I kind of like Gotham by Midnight. I was really waiting for it to come out and trade. I'm like, oh.
Oh, no. You can't do that. You really can't. Which is bad because that's what I do a lot of the time. They cancel books when you do that, though. So.
They do, and it's tough because reading these stories in one sitting is preferable to reading them and then having to wait 4 weeks, maybe,
unless
if they're on time.
Unless you're really impatient and you want to get that little hit every month, I suppose.
Yeah.
But
some of these books I don't mind because I'm not really wrapped in the story. Like, Saga is always a hard time when I get to that last page and know I've got to wait 4 weeks till I get the next one.
But I wouldn't want to wait all the way to a trade because I'm like, that's way too long. That's going to be months before
that
comes out. Yeah.
So, I have no answer for this situation.
Yeah. No.
But I mean, if books had to go, I would probably say it would have been, those have been the first on the list to go.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, the fact that I haven't heard of so many of them, I'm like, well, I guess that's a pretty good sign that you probably need to. So sorry for the writers and artists working on it. That's always got to be hard.
Yeah,
getting that word from above. You're like, ah, crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully you guys find more work.
I'm sure they will.
I mean, because especially Gotham by Midnight, we liked, the art changed. And so our opinion kind of changed a little with it.
Yeah.
The tone had shifted.
Yeah.
But Fox was still writing it, so that was still there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we definitely kind of lost our hunger for it.
Yeah, yeah. But it was nice. Nice to see something different coming from DC.
Absolutely. It was the best Batman book that had no Batman in it.
Right, right, exactly.
Or I should say Gotham, because We Are Robin seems pretty interesting. I gotta catch up on that. But other than that, not much really happened.
No. There's the news.
Everything is shifting focus towards Star Wars, and I think we're all just kind of waiting for that at this point.
Kind of, though I am still digging the Secret Wars stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The all-new, all-different Marvel will begin, I think, the last week of next month.
Sweet. I think I saw some preview books show up in the Marvel account.
Oh, that's so right.
Yeah.
No. The middle of October, because I'm remembering the street date on those previews. The middle of October, we're gonna start seeing our all new, all different Marvel books coming out.
Sweet,
yeah.
Good.
So I guess we're gonna have a little bit of overlap time with the Secret Wars and then all new Marvel.
Yep.
Hopefully that won't mess anything up.
Yeah, you don't want to spoil anything. I mean, when we get to A-Force, I have some thoughts about spoiling parts of the story with the cover. So you know, that's kind of. I don't know. It's a great cover, but, you know, you just kind of, like, dropped some knowledge on us that wasn't surprising later on. But,
usually you want to, you know, tees on the cover. Yes. Maybe put someone in a different direction.
Nope. Not this one.
No, not this one. But as far as books that came out last week, Captain America White, number one. Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale back again to do their monochromatic series of the OG Marvel characters.
Exactly. What did you liked it.
I really did. And I liked it because it wasn't so much a Captain America story. It was a story about little Bucky.
Yeah.
Like, it's this love letter to from Captain America some short time after he's woken up.
Yes.
About Bucky, because he's dealing with the fact that Bucky died when Cap lived. Exactly. In the same incident, like, Bucky, he thinks Bucky's dead, because this book takes place in, like, 65, the Avengers?
Yeah, though, of course, it goes into immediate flashback back in the 40s.
Yeah. But I'm saying, like, in 65,
yeah.
Bucky is dead. Bucky is dead until the early millennium.
Right.
You know, of course, we all know now that Bucky comes back, and Bucky has this very hard time through the decades and decades.
Not too happy with Cap for kind of... Doesn't he still blame Cap for sort of leaving him for dead? Or I wasn't sure how much that... I mean, you see some storylines where they harp on that, and then other storylines he knows that he couldn't have helped him, and so
I think it kind of fluctuates with the writer.
I like something that they said. There's a pretty good interview with Jeff and Tim at the end, and they were talking about... The interviewer asked him, is there a similarity between Bucky's relationship with Cap and Robin's relationship with Batman? And they said, kind of, but not really. They figure that in reality, Steve is really only maybe like 5, 6, 7 years older than Bucky. Yeah. I mean, he looks bigger because of the super serum, but it's really more of an older brother, younger brother type of relationship rather than a father-son. Yeah, exactly. Which I thought was a neat point to make.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that while reading this, like, Batman and Robin being the most, the easiest to compare. And for some reason, when Batman trains Robin and goes into the city to fight crime, a young teenage boy who realistically has no, like, not even any right, but like, no place. He has no place being in that position.
Right.
But he's there next to Batman, and we have to give a little for the story and the fiction.
Sure.
But I find that to be like, okay, I've come to peace with it.
Sure.
But something about Bucky, who isn't even old enough to enlist in a war, somehow to me is worse than Robin.
I think it has a lot to do with the fact that we constantly, especially in this story, we constantly hear Steve saying, this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. What was I thinking? This is terrible. And Batman doesn't have that same kind of, like, very loud self-doubt. Batman is just like, I'm going to train you, you're going to do what I say, and if you don't do what I say, then I'm not taking you with me. He's a good soldier, exactly. So a lot of it, we trust the superheroes. Batman seems to think it's just fine. Steve has his doubts, and if Steve doubts, then we doubt.
Does it feel weird to you as a reader? Like, oh, Robin in the streets, like, there's still bullets flying, but something about the fact that he's cross enemy lines in a war seems more wrong for him to be there.
Maybe it's also the fact that we've got that military element going on. I mean, in the military, there are definitely, like, actual laws and rules against soldiers who are under a certain age, whereas in the streets, well, he's in the streets. There's not really any laws involved in that. So, I don't know. I mean, and also, honestly, I was never much of a Cap fan, and I was one of the people who, when Winter Soldier was coming out, I had to sort of research. I knew that Bucky was going to be the Winter Soldier. I had not realized how long-running a storyline that was. I knew it was a thing that happened in the comics, but, I mean, that goes back. When was Bucky Winter Soldier first introduced in the comics?
Well, Winter Soldier is brought in by Ed Brubaker.
The chicken guy, sure, yeah. That guy.
Ed Brubaker.
Got it.
Ed Brubaker actually introduces Bucky in the early millennium.
Okay. I would have thought that it was like, oh, yeah, that's a storyline they just did like 3 or 4 years ago, right? No. Not like 15 years ago, so.
Now, Bucky as the character is active from essentially 1945.
Right.
Through to current timeline.
Right.
He keeps getting put into cryostasis and is brought out for these specific missions, similar to kind of how they explain it into the movie.
Right.
But the book that he does, it's Captain America, Winter Soldier. It is really good. And if that kind of perked your ear a little, like listening to what Bucky kind of went through, it's a great book that you absolutely have to go through.
Yeah, no.
The movie is so much from Cap's perspective, it doesn't delve very far into the Bucky, what he went through.
Yeah, but I wasn't really, you know, Bucky, I was only vaguely familiar with him as a character, so maybe that's why it didn't strike me as wrong. I'm like, but it's an underage kid in the middle of a war zone, but that's the thing that happens in the comics, so, yeah.
It just seemed so, so weird. And the fact that I'm like, okay, I'm okay with it here, but I'm not okay with it here, kept spinning my brain around. I'm like, why, Anthony? Why is it okay when it's... why is it okay when it's maniac mobsters and supervillains, but it's not okay when it's Nazis?
Because Nazis, that's why. That's the only answer you need. Because Hitler. You know, we'll just drag Hitler into this argument.
Hitler, and way more evil than Joker.
Terrible.
Yeah.
We can definitely agree on that, can't we?
We probably could.
Yeah, I think so.
More evil than Joker.
I think if we started to say that certain people, that Hitler was less evil than certain people, we're just not going to get a lot of support on that one. Seriously.
But the artwork by Tim Sale is, I mean, this is a series of books. So to look at it, it's not much new, but I love the setting. I love kind of the World War II set that, you know, movies or, you know, when we get into comic books, something about that time era does really seem fictional, even when you're reading real events.
Right, right. For me, I liked the book. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like my favorite type of book to read because it is that kind of like retro kapowie, blam, zamo, get those krauts and kick them in the face, you know, kick them in the Japans. I'm like, haha, I see what you did there. Yeah, I thought it was fun, but it's not one of the books that I would definitely seek out all the time.
Yeah, I gave it a shot because again, it's a number one. Mm-hmm. It's here, you know. I figured, all right, well, for the podcast, let's check it out.
Sure.
But I'm glad I bought it. I hope they're not all $5.
Yeah.
Because that's really gonna, you know, influence me.
When I pulled it out of the way. When I pulled it out of the bag, I picked it up. I'm like, oh, this is heavy. This is one of the expensive ones.
Yeah, this feels like.
But it is long. I mean, it's like two whole storylines. I mean, they kind of stop with a to be continued. And I was like, is that it? Oh, nope, there's another one. And the very long interview at the end with, like, sketches and stuff like that.
Man, all that stuff. Yeah. It's I love seeing the old Howling Commandos, Dum-Dum Dugan, and Nick Fury with two eyes, who is such a fucking hard ass.
Yeah, well, that's...
I didn't realize he was such a hard ass back in the day.
It wasn't to me that he was a hard ass. He was just kind of a jerk, you know? I think Nick Fury is a hard ass. I'm totally fine with. He's, you know...
Because that hard ass is kind of fair.
Exactly. But no, he was... This guy was like a... He stole their bike in the middle of a battle.
Dick Fury.
Yeah, seriously.
That's
Cap. A douchebag. Come on. He did call him Flag Face at one point. I'm like, ha-ha. I like that.
So another book that we definitely enjoyed, House of M, which... You know, like we said, showed up late in the game. We had read so many books. And then it comes out and we're immediately kind of in. The world as ruled by, the city of Genosha as ruled by Magneto. Humans are the minority. They're trounced upon. And the once proud warrior with fire in his eyes feels so...
He's jaded.
Yeah, he's so bored.
He walks around. He even says it at one point in this book, walking around with his silk robe and his slippers and bemoaning the fact that he hasn't got... I mean, he's everything he ever wanted, he's got, and he's so miserable. And his kids fight, and he's bored.
Everything's so mundane to him.
Exactly.
He's a tiger in a cage that he put himself in, and the fire is nearly extinguished from his eyes.
Yep, except, of course... We come to find out that Pietro is doing the one thing that Magneto said that he would never actually do. Him and Namor. Him and Namor. plot to overthrow him, which I wonder if that plot would have worked so well if the humans at the same time weren't trying to take him out. It was kind of like a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, I think it was Wanda or somebody who, you know, Magneto was just like, you know, I'm going to kill all of them. She's like, well, that's the attitude that gets you multiple assassination yeah. attempts on the same day.
But Lorna, the Polaris, the green-haired
yes,
daughter.
Yes, exactly.
She's a weird cat. She just kind of pops up in random places. She was in the X-Factor book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She just... I feel like people even forget that she's Magneto's... Well, maybe only daughter now.
True, now that they're saying that Wanda and Pietro aren't his
yeah.
kids. Yeah. All right, that's interesting.
Maybe his only daughter, which... I don't know. It would be tough to believe if they came out and said, Polaris, not Magneto's daughter anymore. We'd be like, no... She's got magnetic powers.
Yeah,
I'll buy it when the speedster and magician aren't.
Like, sure.
That's weird. You're trouncing on a lot of old history.
Exactly.
But this one, she's got his nose, got his eyes. Like, you can't Mori Povich out of this one.
Also slightly crazy, too. So, yeah. You know, that fits that
same temper.
Case. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I think you're right. If Hawkeye, Misty Knight, and Black Cat didn't... get that depowering arrow into him,
right.
It probably would have turned around.
And then Fing Fang Foom jumping in there at the last minute to kind of help things out, you know?
All right, so that was definitely weird.
Yeah.
Fing Fang Foom.
Yeah.
As to which, I titled the last podcast, who's asking for Fing Fang Foom?
I don't mind. I mean, you want to throw a dragon into the mix? I'm not opposed. I'm never opposed.
It was really a weird reveal. But then, now, the next issue, 3, which we're talking about, no mention of him at all?
Nope.
He's completely disappeared from this book?
Yep.
He's a giant fucking dragon!
Well, there was a lot of water going around, so maybe he got washed away.
Dead?
I don't know. I looked around for him to see if maybe we'd see, like, a tail curled up against the side of a wall or something, but no, he's just gone.
He's a dragon. I can't buy that.
I feel like if I went back and looked at the other issue a little closely, maybe they say something. Maybe you see him disappearing down a hole or something. You definitely don't see anything in the beginning. Which, by the way, I really liked the art in this issue. It's different.
Yeah, the art has changed on this book.
Different from the first two. And I liked the art on the first two, but this one... It's got that kind of almost like sketchy style to it. And the way they do the coloring, it's a specific thing they do where they make the noses a little bit darker than the rest of the face. But it actually works really well. I like it. I liked everybody's eyes. It was very dynamic.
Oh, yeah, he seems to be doing like a crosshatch over the noses.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I see that every once in a while. I cannot remember a place where I've seen it before, but I have. It's definitely a particular style that they use. But, I mean, it's all... All the anatomy is really well done. Everybody looks very very fluid. There's motion going through there. Expressions are great. Who was the artist in this one? We couldn't quite figure out how to pronounce his name.
Okay, here we go. Ario Anadito.
That sounds all right. If that's not right, please come onto our podcast. We'll have you on the podcast. We'll apologize and say your name.
Yeah. I like when there's no inker on a book and they just digitally darken the pencils.
Yeah.
And it gives it... kind of a sketchy look, but not messy.
Yeah.
Like, the first time I think I remember seeing it was in the first Wolverine Origin book.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, something about it, I don't know if it's just maybe that it's different, or that it just... It kind of mutes everything, and the colors definitely helps with that.
Yeah.
Now I can't stop looking at everybody's noses.
I know, right? Now that I've dragged it out, it is a thing.
What's weird is when I look at them, I'm like, oh, like, are they all drunk?
That's what I was thinking, too. But
is that what we're looking at?
No, it's just a thing.
Everybody's
slouched. It's hers especially.
So the plans that Pietro and Namor had in the second book have really come through for them. They have washed away, literally, Magneto, Lorna... and the would-be human assassins. And Pietro is taken up as king, telling the entire city of Genosha that Magneto is dead. It's the humans. Fuck those guys.
Yep.
But we know Magneto is alive and temporarily aligning with the humans.
Yeah.
Out of his best interest.
Yeah, because, you know, he was convinced, I think, by Polaris to not kill the humans. Because she's like, well, they're the ones who did this to you. Maybe you should ask them some questions. And the answer he gets is, my dad created this thing that depowered you. I don't know how to turn it off. And... the reason why the humans want to align with him is they're like, to everyone's surprise, Pietro, as a leader, is way worse for the humans than you ever were, because he's rounding up people right and left and throwing them into detention. So nobody really likes each other, but for the sake of getting Magneto back on the throne...
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, Pietro's, like, first decree is to make life worse for the humans. They can now do random house searches.
Yes.
They're arresting anyone who is even suspected of aiding any rebels.
Yep, yep. And their qualifications for whether or not you're a troublemaker are pretty wide. So pretty much if you're a human.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
There used to be a law... Almost positive it was in Chicago. It was a law on the books. I read it in one of those, like, crazy things.
Blue laws, I think they call them.
Yeah.
When they just can't get enough people to revoke them.
It was... The police could arrest someone for being ugly.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Ugh. I can't see how that would possibly ever go bad.
I guess it was put in the books so they could have a reason to bring in mobsters, suspected mobsters... In.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they'd arrest them for being ugly.
Some of those blue laws are so weird.
There's a lot of really weird ones.
Oh, where I went to school, there are, and they may have, it's been a long time since I was in college, but they may have repealed this by now, but there were fraternity houses in the city, but there were no sorority houses because of an old blue law that said more than 5 women living in a home together constitutes a brothel.
What?
I know, right? I hope, that's actually been repealed by now. So not so good, but
that's insane.
Yeah, it is. It's the middle of the Bible Belt, though. That's that kind of thing would definitely happen.
But, like, I feel, though, that like, that law had to be made because there were brothels.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I'm sure. At some point, there absolutely were.
So the middle of the Bible Belt still have brothels. They're not trying to get ahead of that problem. They're trying to deal with the fact.
They're trying to put definitions in place and vocabulary. Yeah. This is what constitutes a brothel. So that's
so you just had a big family with a lot of sisters.
I wonder if it's maybe 5
unrelated women.
Unrelated, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
That would make some sense.
Yeah. Hilarious.
Oh, my God. That is bonkers. So, by the end of the book, Magneto is begrudgingly willing to team up with his would-be human assassins because Pietro's the bigger deal.
Yeah, and I don't think Pietro and Namor.
Yeah,
Pietro and Namor, I don't think this partnership's going to work out well because Namor keeps promising him. He's like, no, you're king. You're definitely...
Yeah.
I already have a kingdom. I don't need it.
Bullshit.
Yeah, it is because everybody keeps calling Namor king and Pietro even calls him out on it. He's like, they're just getting used to it. It'll be fine.
They've been calling me king since before they knew what the word meant.
Exactly. So they're just give them some time and they'll start calling you king too. It's like anytime someone says your majesty, they both say at the same time, yes, but, you know.
Yeah, like, Pietro's so quick to just be like, I'm king now.
Yep.
It's funky. More of this. I am enjoying this a lot, although I really couldn't tell you one reason exactly why, other than just it's a lot of real good pieces fitting together and, you know, giving me an entertaining story.
Yeah. I also like the idea that Magneto, when he finally gets what he wants, won't be happy. He always was happiest striving for it,
I think. Is kind of... deliciously ironic that he gets what he wants and now he's upset with it.
And also, now that he's kind of in this situation, he's fighting for his life, he's got to get his throne back and everything, he looks a little happier now. He's honestly a little more like, hey, I feel alive for the first time in quite some time.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
So, and also, I'm nothing against the previous artist, but I do hope Ariel Anandito sticks on this book with Dennis Hopeless and Colin Bunn as writers. I'm hoping it stays this way.
Yeah.
We can't have more than maybe another issue 2 most.
Yeah, that's true. Some of them wrap up in 4 and some have been 5 lately, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
One book that still is not will not be wrapped up in 4 is A-Force number 4, where I guess the traitor has been revealed.
Yeah, the traitor gets...
Before you open the book.
I know. I'm looking at the front. I'm like, oh, I guess Lady Loki is the traitor. So,
but weren't we kind of suspecting her? I think it was... we were suspecting Medusa in the last one, and then she dies.
And she really is dead.
She really is dead. Yeah, it's kind of bummed me out.
Yeah, that was not... She was pretty cool. But yeah, right on the very cover of the book. And I would have no problem with that if maybe like within the first... page they told us that it was her, but it's really like you're a good percentage into the book before they're like, and the traitor is Lady Loki.
Oh, yeah, everyone looks at each other.
Yeah, when we're like, well, we the reader already knew that because, I mean, it's a gorgeous cover. It's a beautiful cover. But I remember I actually went back and looked at last month's book. And they had a preview image of the cover, and they blanked that area out
so that
you couldn't see who was sitting on there. So they did make an attempt, but I guess it was just too cool a cover to not
do. Goofed, Marvel.
Yeah, well, it's so pretty. You know, it's Lady Loki looking all sinister, and a bunch of the A-Force bodies are piled in front of her.
Piled up. Like, chicks we haven't even seen in this book. Yeah. There's Spider-Gwen in here who... is kind of getting more than I think she's kind of...
Well, I forgot that Storm actually showed up in the last book. When I went and flipped through, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, we did see Storm. So,
That's right. No, I was thinking of the wrong character. So Spider-Gwen I'm okay with. It's Gwenpool that is getting too much attention for
I haven't
for my
seen
taste.
A lot of Gwenpool. I haven't, so... What's she been showing up in?
She's going to show up in her in a backup of the Howard the Duck book.
Oh, okay.
But remember, I think it was like 2 months ago or so, there was the Gwen Stacy covers, variant covers.
Yes.
There was one for Spider or for Deadpool where it's Gwenpool in a like a white and pink one-piece bathing suit.
Okay.
It still has like the full sleeves and arms and whatnot, but her legs are completely exposed.
Okay.
And it's like it was just her on a floating raft in a pool.
Yeah,
like it was very casual.
Yeah,
but I guess the internet really loved the hell out of that concept.
All right,
which is a variant of a variant, and now I feel like no, guys, that concept's really diluted.
Yeah, it is, but. I guess that's fine. What I really liked was the Iron Gwen variant that I saw.
Iron Gwen was fun.
I liked that. And, but that's not something they're going to do anything with, right? That was just here's a cover, but, you know.
I mean, if they're willing to go this far for Gwenpool, I don't know. But no, so inside A-Force, the A-Force team is trying to really figure out what just happened to them. The we can never remember this poor girl's name.
Nico or
no, not Nico. The Galaxy Girl.
Is it Nebula? Did they say in this book? You know, let's open it up and take a look. Let's take a look.
It's only right in front of us. Let's just do this.
Sometimes we feel too lazy.
Oh fuck me! There is no name.
There
that's
is.
Why.
They haven't given us a name yet. I'm going to say Nebula because that's what she looks like.
Okay, I'm going to go with Galaxy Girl
because
that sounds pretty legit.
Yep, that works.
So she's it's a real nice kind of beginning couple pages where. Galaxy Girl's just running through everywhere, kind of grabbing some things, and everybody just falls out of her.
Yep, that's where they had hidden at the end. And the artwork is just so cute, especially the way they draw her. Something about her expressions and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm just looking at everybody, and everybody is drawn very, very well.
It's really adorable. You're completely 100% on that. I like it. Right when everyone's kind of out, and they're like, wow, that was a weird thing. Galaxy Girl Nebula she gives something to everybody and describes what that character is representing to Galaxy Girl. Yeah. And I find it to be this really sweet moment because this character is so pure.
Yes.
To be like, oh, like it's kind of like hearing what... Like, a nice thing when someone nice that you don't really know, they say, like, oh, I always thought you as this, and it's something that you are really happy to hear, because it's kind of what you want to be.
Yeah, and this was really, I mean, there's a lot of things that don't look as good on the guided view on digital, but that one little interaction looked really good, because you see her first talk to Dazzler, then talk to Captain Marvel, and then talk to Nico, and she says to Dazzler, smile. She says to Captain Marvel, fight. And then she says to Nico, feel. And she's giving her a kiss on the cheek. And just seeing those panels one by one in the guided view, I was like, oh, and my heart just melted. That was adorable. But beautiful, beautiful.
The two-page has a great composition to it.
Also, it's at night, which is hard for some people to depict without making everything too dark or whatever. But it's all taking
all
place
shadows.
Out and like, yeah, it's just... Coloring also beautiful, not just the artist work, but the colorist was great too.
I don't know if it's the fact that Galaxy Girl here has no like not a lot of facial features. It's eyes, eyebrows, little shading for nose and mouth. Maybe that's why it can be so expressive in a very kind of cartoonish way that would look weird on a normal person's face.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, she is purely the heart of all this. But what they eventually find out is that when She-Hulk saw the portal from like 2 issues ago, what she saw was related to the Rainbow Bridge with the Thors used to transport from A to B. So now they're like, well, there's only one possible person who could be doing that then.
Who has a, who do we know who's on this island who has a connection to Asgard?
Yeah. Lady Loki.
Yeah.
So they immediately go back using the same hiding inside of Galaxy Girl trick.
There was a really neat thing. Lady Loki is standing at the window giving her dramatic speech while she's talking with the Thors, and she's looking out the window and she's looking at the night sky and talking. She's like, wait a minute, there aren't any stars, and it's because Nebula or whatever had actually covered the windows, which I totally forgot. I mean, there aren't any stars in the sky. I totally forgot about that.
That was it. So, really, for the most of this book, it's a lot of kind of fighting back and forth, fighting the Thors, fighting Loki, fighting the Thors again, Loki fighting Thors. And it's just a lot of, you know, how could you, you know, why would you? Loki is really just kind of, I guess in typical Loki fashion, regardless of gender, thinks that she could do a better job than the current person.
And she blames She-Hulk for Ms. America, America Chavez, being dragged away by the Thors, which when she said that, I actually sat up, I'm like, hang on a minute, and Nico twigged to it as well. She's, you know, Loki's like, you let them take her away because you were more interested in, you know, staying in control than you were in protecting your actual people, so this is all your fault. And then Nico's the one who's like, America got taken away because of one of the portals that you created, and you created that long before. And she's like, I know that you loved us, but you always loved power more.
It's, and it's great Loki fashion, because Loki is trying to plead to Nico, like, please, this is why, and they took America away from us, and all that, and she's really putting on the sad face.
Oh, yeah.
And then once Nico's like, you know, no, this because of this, I feel Loki just has that, like, that great turn. It's not depicted in the art, but my brain filled it in where her face would just be like, all right, fine, whatever.
Yeah, that's all right, I don't, you know. And I actually think Nico really hit it on the head. I think in Loki's way, she did love America and Nico, but that was always going to come secondary to being in charge.
From the first couple issues where we see Loki training those two in magic for Nico, and Miss America doesn't seem to have any magic. But yeah, she did. Those two girls definitely seemed important to Loki. And yeah, I don't think it'd be unfair to say that she does really care, but she's still a Loki.
Yeah, it's only
and
to a
Loki
point.
And always going to be power mad and hungry.
Yes, yes.
Let's see, where does this book end? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's where it ends.
This is where this book ends, and then it happened, and then I had a thought. So Loki, pissed off that she's been defeated, says, well, fuck y'all. If I can't have Arcadia, no one can. And I'm paraphrasing.
Yep.
Blows a hole into the shield wall that borders at least part of Arcadia, and the Marvel zombies start pouring through.
And it's a great page that we get to sit there. And okay, so we've got a Hydra person over here. We got Magneto. We got Doc Ock.
Electro.
Havoc.
Nope, that's Bullseye.
Bullseye, excuse me.
Bullseye. Green Goblin, or possibly Hobgoblin.
Okay.
Blob, Sabretooth. Some of these we can make guesses. Oh, there's a Rhino, Captain Boomerang. Well, not just regular Boomerang. Yeah. Captain Boomerang's the wrong universe.
All right.
So are we to assume then that every wall, no matter where it is, has zombies on the other side?
Yes. It's a trick of dimensional physics that, like, even if you're landlocked by other worlds, if you blow a hole in the shield, zombies will pour through it.
I read it yesterday, and I meant to go to Marvel, because they actually have a map of Battle World.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to go and look, because I thought Arcadia was kind of centered in Battle World.
It might be.
But here we have zombies. Now, if my brain can get beyond that, awesome.
Yeah, very cool.
Because now the A4s have to fight zombies. I love the way this team works together. I love the camaraderie between them. I love some She-Hulk.
Yeah, yeah.
And now to see them just be able to go off on zombies, because you don't have to hold back with zombies.
No, you don't have to worry about not killing somebody.
Wreck them.
Yes, and they'll just respawn in a couple minutes.
Yeah. But it is bad. A lot of zombies coming through. We'll see how that turns out. But probably 5 will definitely be the end of A-Force.
I think they even said at the end, to be concluded. Who's the artist? Is it?
Jorge Molina.
Oh, it is Molina. That's right. Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
He's been doing the whole book, and the whole book has looked amazing.
Yes, it has.
Along with the writers, Marguerite Bennett and G. Willow Wilson.
Nice.
So the next book on the list wins for most 90s cover there ever was.
You got a great pose by the
White Queen Emma Frost.
Doing, you know, it's the, well, she's got her butt in the camera, but she's also spinning around, so her face is in the camera at the same time. So.
She somehow snapped her own spine to twist around.
Yep, we need to see a Project Hawkeye version of this done as well. Yes. That would be great. But you know what? The artist on this one, who is that?
This is not on the front. There it is. Ivan Koyo.
And then the colorist?
David Curiel.
Really channeling Joe Mad. I mean, really, yeah. You can tell the difference, but I'm not mad at it. No, I'm not. No, but the storyline is very convoluted, and with a lot of factions going on, hard to keep track of. But this is one of those books where I don't care because it's so pretty. Yeah. It's really
the art alone. I think we've talked about how this story is really kind of weird to kind of keep up on. Like, the story itself is a thin thread amongst a lot of other shit.
Yes.
So to try to recap, we're in the Age of Apocalypse world. So let that fill in all the nooks and crannies. Mm. Essentially, there was a virus that was going to kill mutants. And I think at first we thought it was the humans who had the virus.
Okay.
We then found out Apocalypse has the virus and set the virus loose.
Yes.
Because his thought process is, well, okay, anyone who survives this virus is stronger and thus survival of the fittest. And
he's pretty convinced it's going to be him, of course. You know, he'll be the one who survives.
It seemed weird because usually Apocalypse, he never quite seems to be like, I want everybody dead.
Yeah.
And I'll rule this lonesome rock by myself. Mm. It always seems like I want the strongest to be at my will because I am the strongest.
Right.
So the next tier of strongest will bend at my will and we will rule this world. Mm. He always wants to be a ruler, not a,
last man standing, dude. Yeah, exactly. But he seems okay in this one because this is like, what is it? Cannonball. It's the first person we see bite it from this. It causes your powers to just go nuclear.
To max out.
Yeah.
And you essentially, whatever it is, Cannonball just straight up explodes.
Yep, yep. We see very early on, it looks like Magneto got infected too.
Magneto's infected. Things aren't going to go very well for him.
And
essentially, your power just goes beyond max.
Is that Mr. Sinister?
Yep.
And he calls him Essex. I didn't know that before.
Nathaniel Essex is Mr. Sinister's real name.
I did not know that. I don't know much about Sinister. Every time I see him, I'm like, oh, yeah, that vampire guy.
That's right. Nathaniel Essex, Insabner is Apocalypse.
Yes,
real name.
That one I knew, but... But Apocalypse gets infected very early on as well.
Yeah, about halfway through the book, he starts losing the cohesion of his molecular cells, of which he's been a shapeshifter, and his powers have always kind of been on the other end of, like, what is rational for a power.
Wildchild gets it, too.
Wildchild goes, I guess, full feral,
yeah.
And Sabretooth is just like, hate to put you down, old yeller, snap.
Yeah, and he's, of course, shrugging it off, like, well, I never liked that thing anyway, but I'm like, I think you did, but...
Sinister never liked it, but Sabretooth cold, but I don't know, maybe has some remorse. Oh, no, I think Sabretooth says, you didn't deserve a death.
You didn't deserve a mercy killing.
A mercy killing.
I guess Sabretooth, if anything, Sabretooth would rather you die with your teeth on somebody's throat. But, he's not going to let him explode.
That's the way to go out. Yeah. We get some Iceman, which is always a good time. I love me some Age of Apocalypse Iceman. Such like a spiky-looking badass.
Yeah. And so he freezes Apocalypse to try and stop because they see that he's... release the virus.
Yeah.
They try to freeze it to stop it. It doesn't work for very long.
Yeah, I mean, it's a mutant virus designed by and for mutants, so nothing's really going to hold it back too well.
Some pretty cool shots of Havoc there, facing off against Scott Summers. I really like the artwork on that, just very, with the little Havoc's little, like, light circles floating around him. You know, that's how
great
the show is.
Great coloring on this one. Yeah. Real super dynamic pose. Real, like, the poses like these aren't uncommon, but something about when you're in these costumes that are just a little on the... It's kind of crazy.
But it's okay because this is like...
The practicality of the costumes go by the wayside.
Exactly.
Or, hey, this is pretty bitchin'.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, this is 90s. We're going to, like, lose logic in favor of what looks cool.
Yeah. 90s were really a time of art over writing.
Yeah, I think I can see that. There were some good stories, don't get me wrong, but when I got into it, so I really...
I feel like the millennium brought in the age of writers, where the writing kind of started to eclipse, and I think currently we're finding a good blend.
Yeah.
There's still, you know, books to be found on each side of it, but for the most part, I think we're in a really good spot.
Yeah.
So we have Havoc, who is trying to head off Scott and Wolverine, and this fire dude, I can't remember his name.
I don't think it's Sunspot. Either. He was one of the people who'd been imprisoned. This is McCoy's lab, and he'd been held prisoner in that lab. So that's how I think he knows his way around. But Scott's trying to save Jean, honestly, and he's got Wolverine with him, and they're just trying . What is it? Hank tried to cut out the part of Jean's brain that controlled her powers, and they were like, I thought he was about enhancing people. And they're like, well, she was too powerful for him to mess with. So he was just trying to take it out of her.
Just to kind of try, neuter her powers.
And I don't know if he actually went through with that. Is she lobotomized? We only get to see her for a second before this more 90s explosion stuff going on.
We only see her, just an eye line of her, blood behind her on the table, and tears in her eyes. So I guess we'll find out what that's going to look like, because that is the end. When I first opened this book to grab the code out of the back and put it online so we could share it, I see this picture of a gelatinous kind of creature
screaming.
Screaming with a big white face. I thought it was Morph.
Oh, that would make sense.
Oh shit, Morph is in this book now, which is appropriate for the world.
Weren't you guys just talking about that on Leland's episode? About is anybody asking for Morph to come back too? Or no, it was Skin. That's right.
No one cares about Skin.
No.
So, like, once I started going through the story, I didn't want to read ahead to find out if it was Morph. But I was not... Yeah, I was not expecting Apocalypse to bite it.
Yeah, he did. He was infected, couldn't keep it together. Yeah. And that strange shot of him is him just completely dissolving.
Because Apocalypse is such, like, to me, such a great villain that, like, he's the last thing that needs to happen in this book.
Yeah, and there's still one more book after this, too.
Yeah.
Which is, not only do we see Apocalypse bite it, but Magneto got infected, and the White Queen, you know, knew that there was no hope. And even Sabretooth was even kind of like, he's like, sorry, you know, it's all right, I'll do it. And she's like, nope, it's got to be me.
He gets a real nice mercy killing where Emma goes into his brain, finds the worst moment of his life, something he so deeply regrets, which in this world is when he deflected a bullet and it kills Charles Xavier instead of paralyzing him.
Yep.
I guess it's something that always had weighed on him. Changes that so that the bullet misses Xavier and gives him peace.
Yep.
One thing I guess he's never really had.
Yep.
And then I guess just turns off his brain.
Yep.
So Magneto, big player, gone. Mm-hmm. Apocalypse, the villain, gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the last page is like, oh no, Cyclops and Wolverine and Havoc are fighting Dr. Nemesis.
Who I know nothing about.
Dr. Nemesis is a character that I'm familiar with some of the peripheral X-Men books.
He was not anywhere in the original Age of Apocalypse, though, right?
I don't remember.
I don't think he was.
I've not actually been able to read a lot of the old Age of Apocalypse because at the time I wasn't getting books regularly. I was young. And I haven't picked up a lot of the volumes since then because I've wanted to, but I've never really had the...
I remember buying those weekly. I mean, that was one of my first experiences with dropping a lot more money during the month because I had to pick up books that I normally wouldn't pick up. But I remember I loved all of them. Yeah. They were all great. And lots of Joe Mad art.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember in some of the X-Men books, I think it was Wolverine and the X-Men, a guy who wore a white hat and a white doctor's mask?
Yes, yes.
That's Dr. Nemesis.
Oh, well, he sure as heck looks different here, though.
He does. And it says, next, one mutated maniac plus 200 powers equals big trouble for the X-Men, or what's left of them, which is it's 90s and great, just the fact that
really
that
good, yeah.
exists. But
they end the book with a dun-dun-dun.
Yeah. Well, what the fuck is going on with Dr. Nemesis?
I have no idea. He's all hulked out and everything and looks skull-faced. And
yeah.
So...
like, clearly, we're not here necessarily for the story.
No.
We have been here for the art. And the art has not disappointed.
Nope.
Even the... what now, like, costumes like Emma Frost or even... I'm surprised this cover really didn't get too much shit.
I think people realize for what it... I mean, it really
is... they forgive it because it's 90s?
It's really kind of tongue-in-cheek. You're looking at it and you're like, I see what you're doing there, you know?
Like, she's got these big thigh-high boots with the zippers in the back, which you never see zippers in comic books.
No, and you also have the...
but
the
just to make, like, the stocking lines
and
to make it a little sexier.
The butt line on the back of her legs. I mean, she's clearly wearing a thong yeah.
It's all butt with, a painted-on, bodysuit.
You can get away with that in two instances. One, if it's tongue-in-cheek, as this is. Two, if the art's actually really kind of pretty for all that it's cheesecakey. I'm like,
yeah.
It is a good looking cover though. You have to admit
it is. So just to kind of quickly go through some of the last books here, we are at the end of the podcast. Star Wars number 9. I don't want to say it, but I'm kind of getting a little bored.
Yeah. By
comparison to how this book started.
Yeah. But you know what? Immonen's art. I would have a hard time not looking at it. I mean, he's really, really captured how everybody... I mean, I look and I'm like, that's Han, that's Leia. The poses are great. The look is beautiful. But it is just kind of like, Leia's still pissed off about this wife thing, and the wife thing refuses to explain herself, and Han's not saying anything.
That's what's bothering me.
Yeah.
Nobody's explaining the situation.
Exactly.
Two books now we've gone through, and Han is just like a stumbling idiot who's just like...
and then Leia
no
looks...
no one's explaining this fucking situation.
And then Leia looks kind of like a harridan. She's just all snippy and bitter, which... granted, I understand why she would be, but I guess they have been being shot at pretty much continuously since his wife showed up.
But there was, like, in the book before this one, there was time for Han to explain, like when he says, it's not what you think, or, like, wait a minute, let me explain, then explain something. Say, like, oh, yeah, she's technically my wife, but I'm not with her anymore.
I was drunk. It was a Vegas wedding. It's not really real.
We went to Coruscant.
Yeah.
Things got crazy. Yeah. I woke up married.
Yeah.
She's crazy. I don't like her because this kind of fucks with my Han and Leia perception.
It does. I mean,
like,
they're going to...
I was fine with him having an ex-wife, but...
but the fact that he does look so hapless, you know? He's like, what?
Yeah, which isn't Han.
Baby, sweetie, honey, it's not what you think, you know? I'm like,
that's
not
Han.
Yeah, no, it isn't. But hopefully they explain some stuff. I am digging the art, though.
The art is really great. And, I mean, nothing against John Cassaday, who's doing it before. We're just such a fan of Immonen.
Yes.
And I feel that the style change was not so abrupt as to shake anything up. I think if it was a lesser artist, this frustration I have with Han might almost make me think about dropping the book.
Yeah, and for me it's less frustration and more like another book where they spent their time getting shot at. I mean, it was really a bit of a placeholder, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't move forward more than, like, 5 or 6 steps from being shot at to being in the ship.
Yeah, like, all of that didn't go anywhere.
No.
Now, the Luke side of the story, that was cool. Gets his lightsaber. We see this new Hutt, who is a Jedi aficionado, just collects Jedi stuff.
Yeah.
He's got a necklace of lightsabers.
Yep.
He's on a weird walkie spider leggy thing. I can't tell if they're bionic or if it's just a thing he sits on that walks him around.
He has this little like gem thing. Hello, car. He has this little gem thing.
It's a holocron.
That's right. And he says only a Jedi can open it. And Luke not only opens that one, but he opens up every other one in the storehouse. And they're all repositories of Jedi knowledge. And it was really, it was beautiful. It looked very cool.
Which I'm hoping that this isn't something that is lost and then completely forgotten. Because, as Leland will tell you, Luke gets no real Jedi training.
Right,
like
right.
He's only on Dagobah for like a week or so. Like,
we never know exactly how long he's on Dagobah.
It can't be very long, though, because he leaves to save Han and Leia from Darth Vader on Bespin.
True, but we
see their all their time. We don't know how long it takes for them to get from the asteroids to Bespin.
I always wondered about that. How much of that traveling time is getting cut out of the movies? You know, is it like a few days or is it a couple weeks? I mean, space is a really big place.
Like they don't have hyperdrive, so they can't go far.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. So it's definitely some time, but not enough for you to show up in the third movie and say you're a Jedi Knight.
Unless Yoda's just really, really good.
He's really good, yeah. So I'm hoping like that will help us kind of give some more evidence as to why Luke is as good of a Jedi as he is.
Hmm.
Another book, All New Hawkeye number 5, which still a thing.
Mm-hmm. Still going on.
Forget that it's going on. But it's another book that kind of doesn't have a lot. That doesn't move the story very far.
Yeah.
The first half is a largely future, current time Hawkeye saying like, hey, these kids are dangerous. We need to give them up. And Kate's like, oh, no. Protect them, which I'm here like, I get your sympathy, but yeah, these kids just liquefied a bunch of Hydra agents.
Yeah, they really did. They did. I understand her knowing that it's not really their fault and seeing in them, they were in pretty horrific conditions when she rescued them. She doesn't want them to go back, but my biggest problem with the story was, you know, the watercolor stuff is beautiful, but you said it's the same artist who's doing both sides.
Ramon Perez.
Oh, Perez, I wish you wouldn't, like, take quite so many shortcuts with the art on the non-watercolored bit. I mean, I pointed out a bit, like, one of the first scenes we have of Hawkeye. I'm like, you look at him, and it's when... All right, I'm gonna find this page. I remember. Beautiful watercolor, standing around the bodies. Okay, so she's trying to talk to the kids, and, you know, she's like, you know, you didn't do anything wrong. And he's like, yes, they did. Look at that page. What the hell is going on with his legs? It's like his legs are disappearing into the ground. He doesn't have a foot. He's clearly not tall enough. I'm like, I think there was...
Yeah.
I think the art in the non-watercolored sections, possibly because he's spending so much time on those, the art everywhere else looks way too rushed.
Yeah. This book is... Clearly, this has to be late. Like, I don't know why they would have brought out this a bi-monthly book or... No? Every other month. Wait. Yes, bi-monthly book.
Mm.
If you were going to go into Secret Wars. Because this has nothing to do with anything Secret Wars.
Yeah.
So I have to assume it's just a book they're sticking with. But it's just so late. And it has to be because of the art. Because these beautiful watercolors.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Doing,
gorgeous.
They are amazing. But then, page 7, Hawkeye got no foot.
He really, his leg disappears about halfway in between the knee and the feet and everything. And that's, I mean, it's a quibble. Could I do better? No. I always want to say that. When I, like, criticize people's art, let's just go ahead and assume that I could not do better. But compared to the watercolored bits, it's just nowhere near as nice to look at.
I mean, it's kind of amazing that the same artist is doing both the watercolors. Like, they do look so different from each other.
Mm. But over in the watercolor section where they're talking about his past, and there's Clint finds a chest that he opens up that belongs to the knife thrower guy who's training him. Also, who's running the pickpocketing operation. But he sees pictures in there. Help me out. I could not tell from the watercolors. Are they pictures of naked women, or are they pictures of naked kids?
No. And I had that same exact fear.
Because I'm like,
When we got into it. Because I was worried about how evil. No. It's explained through the dialogue later. It's the girlfriend of the knife thrower.
Oh.
It's that girl.
Who
at least, I mean, it's kind of tough to tell ages, but I assume is an adult.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unsure if they're necessarily naked or just scantily clad.
Or looks in distress, too. I mean, didn't he beat her up in one of the books? I kind of think he backhanded her at one point. I have a memory of that happening. Like, she really clearly should not be with him, and she shouldn't have been with him before this information.
I think that might have been somebody else, and he stepped in.
I don't remember.
Because this character of the Knife Thrower is one of those honorable thieves.
Yeah, I thought there was something with the girlfriend, though. She was upset at one point and clearly should have left. I'll have to go back and reread. Because you know what? It's been a while since the last book came out.
Yeah, I barely remember the previous books, which is kind of what, like, just another thing that hurts this book, is that it's so infrequent, you forget, you know, you forget it's a thing when it shows up. Mm. But I did really like, you know, by the end, we jump into the future. And we see old man Hawkeye in, like, ponytail and beard, just like he is in the old man Logan story. And Kate shows up, is like, it's the kids. Something's got to be done about the kids.
God. Well, that's concerning the fact that Back to the Future book will be coming out soon.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's just a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
So, I can't say I'm not going to get it. I don't know when I'm going to get the next one.
Yeah, because we don't know when the next one's going to be coming out. But yeah.
But I don't know. I am kind of hoping it's a miniseries.
Yeah, I'm good for one more book just to hopefully see what happens with this old man Hawkeye thing. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not as enamored of it as I was when it first started.
Yeah. And lastly, Bizarro number 4, more good fun from Bizarro with some magic, courtesy of Zatanna. And Darth Vader is my least favorite Star Wars book.
Which I didn't read it, so I can't comment on it, because I haven't read the last, like, 6 books. So, though, is the evil C-3PO and R2-D2
still there? They're still there making commentary.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. You know, they were actually what I was most interested in those books, if I'm honest.
But. They're getting about as much as the regular 3PO and R2 get in the other books.
Good.
But just something about it just moves kind of slow. I don't quite get everyone's position, what they're trying to accomplish, and I'm here left holding the bag.
Yeah.
So if there are any books that you guys have read that you feel need to be talked about, for good or for worse, let us know. You can email us at comicissues@gmail.com. You can hit us up on one of our very many social medias. We have the Facebook, the Twitter, the Tumblr, the Instagram, the Pinterest.
That Google Plus is still
and
a
Google
thing.
Plus. Yeah. I feel like I haven't said Google Plus in a while.
No, I don't, because we don't do a lot with it. But if you're on Google Plus, you should hit us up to encourage us to continue with it.
Sure.
Yeah.
We could look into it. And if there are any other social medias that I may have missed, just search Comic Issues in the little search, and if we're there, we're there.
Yeah, you know how the internet works.
Yeah, you're smart.
Yeah.
You found us.
Yeah, exactly. And you're listening to us. That means you're very smart.
Super smart.
Yeah.
Of course, we are part of the Pixelated Geek Network. Home of so many other podcasts, The Binary System, with Elizabeth and her twin sister, Catherine. Two Geeks in a Podcast, with me and my girlfriend, Ashley. Movie Issues, with Leland and Spooky. And the Pixel Clicks Podcast, with Jordan and his crew, talking about all kinds of crazy video game stuff. And, I mean, those dudes love them. They love them some video games.
Yes.
I don't even know if my love for comic books can even rival that.
I don't think so. And some of the stuff that they've told me about, it actually makes me want to play some more. Did you read that article in that game Back to Bed?
No.
It's like this surreal game where you've got, like, this person's subconscious walking around and falling off a building, so you try and stop them. It's a puzzle game. It sounds amazing, I really do think. And it got a lot of hits on the site, too. So
right,
a lot of people thought it was a cool kind of thing.
Yeah. So all that stuff and more, pixelatedgeek.com. But if you just want this sweet Comic Issues goodness, you go right to our website. It's a part of the whole Pixelated Geek in general, but it's your highway. It's your fast pass, your carpool lane, right to us, comic-issues.com. I like that, carpool.
I thought that, too. I was trying to think of something to follow that up with, like something about, you know, save some gas. Gas is expensive. Just go straight to Comic Issues, you know?
That internet money.
It's true. I know. It's a thing, right?
I mean, my computer mileage is really poor on the internet. I got to step up to a hybrid. Hybrid computer.
What is a hybrid computer anyway?
Half Mac, half PC.
Oh, that makes everybody happy. All right. That's good. Yeah, that's good. It's all right. Yeah. Yeah. And it's probably equally expensive, too. Probably. So there you are.
So that is going to be it for us this week, everybody. Until next week, I'm Anthony Silva.
Elizabeth Wallace.
And good geeking.